Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. Now, what does that mean? Today, when you talk to those who are Christian, they tell you that the whole Old Testament, you don't even need to read it, because that's for the Jews. And the Jews who practice Judaism, they don't follow the Bible. They pretend to. They claim it. But Judaism rejects the Word of God. That's why you need the book, Judaism, A Revelation of Moses, or A Religion of Men. Now you see, when you start reading the Bible, the Old Testament, the New Testament, put it together. Let's understand something. You cannot add your own traditions. You cannot take away from the Word of God. You cannot add to the Word of God, because when you do, you start cutting yourself off from God in your own self-deception and delusion that you think you're doing what's right. And especially if it feels good. Hey, it's got to be good. And especially if you start getting numbers of people, that's got to be good. But is it really? Now, we know what Jesus said concerning traditions. He told the Jews that full well you reject the commandments of God that you may keep your own traditions. Now, Protestantism does that. Catholicism does that. Judaism does that. So that's why we have the whole Bible, the whole Word of God. Now, don't you think there are some things for us to learn from the Old Testament, because we see the type in the Bible, the physical first and the spiritual? And the Old Testament is the physical first, the basic laws and obedience and the letter of the law. Then we have the New Testament, which is spiritual. And the meaning of everything from the Old Testament then is expanded and amplified and magnified, just like it was said of Jesus, that he would magnify the law and make it glorious, not do away with it. So if you hear anyone tell you, well, that's what they used to do in old time, but we don't have to do it today, let's ask a question. When the New Testament church began on Pentecost in 30 AD, how many New Testaments were available? Now think on that for a minute. The answer is zero. But they preached Christ, did they not? You can read Acts, the second chapter, where Peter said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit. Now, let's come here to 2 Timothy 3. Let's see what Paul wrote concerning the scriptures in the Old Testament, because we are to learn from these things. And we are to understand that to get right with God, we have to do, as Jesus said, repent. And not only be baptized, but live by every word of God. And as we will see when we go through more segments on the holy days of God in the Bible, we will see far from doing away with the holy days of the Bible, these become the very keys which help us to understand what God is doing. So how did the apostles preach Christ? Well, you go online to cbcg.org, and we have small series of sermons. How did the apostles preach Christ? Well, let's see what the apostle Paul said. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 15. Now, he's writing to Timothy, who is half Greek and half Jewish. And notice what he says to him. Verse 15, that from a child you have known the holy writings, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. They preached from the Old Testament. We find that the Bereans in Acts 17, when they were told of the things of Christ, when they were told of what he had gone through, when they were preached the gospel to them by Paul, what did they do? They searched the scriptures to see if these things were so or not. Now, they had no New Testament. Perhaps at that time, they may have had the Gospel of Matthew. That's it. They preach from the Old Testament, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus, through the scriptures telling about Christ, prophesying about what he would go through. See? Now notice how Paul brings this out. And I want you to compare this with what you believe. What do you believe concerning the Bible? Do you believe it's really the Word of God? Do you really believe that it is for us today so that we can learn and know how to find God? So that we can understand the Word of God? Let's read verse 16. All Scripture. Now that means each and every one. Now that includes all the genealogies. Because the genealogies are there to show the legal basis of how God dealt with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and Israel, coming down to the Messiah and all of the prophecies that we find in the Old Testament concerning the coming of Jesus Christ. All Scripture is God-breathed. You have heard me say this before, but I'm going to reiterate it again. Can God make a man write what he wants him to write? Answer is yes. And understand this, for the New Testament, only 8 men were involved in writing it. Do you suppose if you believe that God is perfect, that God is holy, that God is righteous, that God is all-powerful, that God has the power of his Holy Spirit to intervene in the affairs of men, that he had the power to inspire and cause 8 men to write the truth? Well, the theologians and all the scholars today say, well, no, that can't be. So they have all kinds of excuses and all kinds of problems that they have with the scriptures so that they can change them. Godless men working in translation committees. No wonder there's so much confusion. No wonder they tell you, you don't have to keep the Passover. That was for the Jews. And the Jews will say, yes, that's true. That's only for us, because they don't want any of the Gentiles, as they look upon everyone else, to keep the Sabbath or the holy days. That's only for them. And you will find that even the Messianic Jews, Jews for Jesus, really don't want those that they consider Gentiles to be keeping the Sabbath and holy days. Oh, they want to come and inform them about them. But as far as keeping it according to the Word of God, uh-uh. Now notice what the Word of God is profitable for. For doctrine, which is teaching. And we're learning and teaching about the holy days of God. And I want to reiterate here again. Nowhere in the Old or New Testament does God give sanction to any of the holidays of this world. Everything you've been taught, Sunday, Halloween, Christmas, Easter, Lent, Sunday resurrection, Friday crucifixion, is not in the Bible. Those are all distortions of the scriptures to fit a preset, humanly devised tradition. Now, let me tell you what happens when you do that. You automatically cut yourself off from God. Automatically. You don't think you are, but you do. So let me ask you a question as we're going through this with the Passover and unleavened bread. Have you learned anything as to why it needs to be kept? And you can be guaranteed one thing for sure. The tradition of communion and the tradition of the Eucharist and the tradition of the Lord's Supper is straight from the cauldron of Satan, the devil. Oh, but these are such righteous people. Really? Can they prove it from the Bible? Do they understand the Bible? See, here's another key. If you do not obey what you learn in the Bible, you begin to blind yourself and cut yourself off from God. Take a look around you. Look at the world. Look at America and Britain and Australia and New Zealand and Canada. All the nations of the world are all in turmoil and just out of sorts. Wars and rumors of wars and famines and earthquakes. Why? Because Jesus said, lawlessness shall multiply, the love of many shall grow cold. That's what we have today. As you look at Christianity in the world, it is in the steepest decline possible. Why? Because God is cutting them off for substituting Sunday for his Sabbath, substituting communion, Lord's Supper, and Eucharist for the Passover, substituting Halloween, Christmas, Easter, New Year's, Lent for the holy days of God, unleavened bread, Pentecost, trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, and the last great day. Oh, you've never heard of those? Have you ever read your Bible? And when you read the Bible, in order to understand the doctrine or teachings, you need to follow the 14 rules of Bible study. Because the Bible is written in such a way, especially the Old Testament. A little here, a little there. Line upon line. Precept upon precept. See. Now, if you divide it rightly, then you will begin to understand. If you do not divide it rightly, you will be taken and snared and go away backwards, and you will learn absolutely nothing, and that's exactly what God is doing to modern Christianity for today. That's why we're dedicated to restoring original Christianity. What did Jesus teach? What did the apostles teach? What was written in the New Testament? What was written in the Old Testament? How do we apply all these things to our lives today? See, because the reason that the world is in such turmoil is because though they have the Word of God, that's very interesting. You read the parable of Lazarus and the rich man. And when the rich man was at the edge of the lake of fire, ready to be cast into the lake of fire, he said, send someone to my five brothers. Oh, Father Abraham, send them, and they'll repent. And Abraham answered, even if someone from the dead would go to them, they will not hear. Then he said something astounding. They have Moses. Now, when you understand what that means, that's a very interesting statement. Because what you're seeing vision of the resurrection. And Abraham is going to be in a resurrection. Moses is going to be in the resurrection. But you know, between the life of Abraham and the life of Moses, you're looking at well over 300 years difference. So when it says there in Luke 16, Abraham answers back to the rich man, they have Moses. Your five brothers have Moses. And if they won't listen to him, Now, what does that mean? Now, you think about that relationship to your life. Do you have the Old Testament, which contains Moses? Yes. Will you listen to what Moses says? Remember what Jesus told the scribes and Pharisees. He says, you have Moses, but none of you believe Moses. Had you believed Moses, you would have believed me. Now, do you understand what that is saying? Because you see, what we're covering here are some very contentious things. And those who are Sunday and holiday keepers will say, if you try and keep the Passover and the holy days, you are putting yourself under a curse. Really? We're going to see that's not so. We're going to see from the Old Testament how God blessed the people when they returned to Him in repentance and kept the Passover. Now let's finish this here. Profitable for doctrine, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now that tells you how to grow in grace and knowledge, does it not? Notice all Scripture. Now this includes Old and New Testament because Peter said that Paul's writings were Scripture. Why did God give this? Verse 17, so that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. Do you consider yourself to be of God? Do you follow what this says, whether you're a man or woman? Do you live by every word of God? Now, far from rejecting the Passover and holy days of God. Now, let's come back to the Old Testament here, and let's think about the apostasies, just like cycles in the Old Testament, through the book of 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, all of the prophets, the cycles of disobedience and rebellion. Now, when Israel and Judah went astray, what did they do? They followed the pagan holidays of the Gentiles around them. Now we have an account here in 2 Chronicles 29 concerning Hezekiah, who was a righteous king. And he was 25 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 29 years. Now verse 2, 2 Chronicles 29, and he did what was right in the sight of the Lord according to all that David his father had done. Now, David was a man after God's heart, right? And what is the church called? Acts 15th chapter. The Tabernacle of David. Really? That's why we have Restoring Original Christianity for today, that we can get back to the original teachings of the Bible and the apostles who wrote it, you see. And he did what was right. So what he did in the first year of his reign, because the whole area of the temple and all the priests, and they had polluted the temple of God. They had put in idols of all the gods. They had taken down everything that belonged to God and made it nearly desolate. It was so bad that they had shut the doors to the house of God. Whenever you turn your back upon God, and I want you to think about that in relationship to what is happening in the world and what is happening in the United States of America in particularly. Why are we in the trouble that we are? Religiously, politically, economically, education? Why are we in the trouble that we are? Because as a nation, we have turned our backs upon God. So we need to do like Hezekiah did, because he recognized why all these things were coming. Wars, threat of captivity, famine, starvation, crime. Verse 8. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has delivered them to trouble, to astonishment, and to hissing, as you see with your eyes. For lo, our fathers have fallen by the sword, our sons and our daughters and our wives are in captivity for this, and it is in my heart, Hezekiah coming to God, confessing the sins of the nation of Judah. Now, would we have something like this with the President of the United States? Coming to God and repenting before God and calling a fast for the whole nation? Calling on all the religious leaders to forsake your idols, forsake your traditions, forsake your lies? Not on a dime. But you can, individually. So he says, it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. My sons, he's talking to the priest, do not be negligent now, for the Lord has chosen you to stand before him, to serve him, and that you should minister to him and burn incense. And then all the priests came together, and they started cleaning out the temple of God. Completely run down, completely overrun with idols and with homosexual booths and with incense altars and burnt offering altars to other gods, to the sun, to the moon, to the stars. That's what we have today in the world, isn't it? If you go to church on Sunday, which is the day of the sun, even though you use the name of Jesus Christ, who are you worshiping? And you watch every Sunday-keeping minister on television, what are you going to see? They never talk about the Sabbath. They never talk about the Passover. They never talk about the Feast of Unleavened Bread. They never talk about Pentecost. They never talk about trumpets, atonement, tabernacles, or the last great day. And with it, they have thrown away the greatest keys in understanding the Word of God. So let's see what happened. They began, verse 17, to sanctify on the first day of the first month. And on the eighth day of the month, they came to the porch of the Lord, and they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days. And in the 16th day of the first month, they made an end. Now, when is the day that God said to keep the Passover? 14th day of the first month, correct? According to the calculated Hebrew calendar that God gave to the priest. So here they are, 2 days late. Now, what are they going to do? Well, they finally got it cleaned out, but then they had to dedicate it. They had to have all the sacrifices to rededicate and to cleanse and to have everything ready to go. Now, God had made a provision in Numbers, the 9th chapter, that if you cannot keep the Passover on the 14th day of the first month, then you can keep the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. And we will see. That's exactly what Hezekiah did. Now, every day that God has condemned and should not be kept, those days are the holidays of this world and supposedly sanctified by the church. Now, let's understand something very important. No person, no church, no group of individuals can change the Word of God and substitute their own traditions for it and be accepted of God. Now, you need to understand that. So you need the book, Cult Holidays or God's Holy Days. Now, this is not a little pamphlet. 350-page book, and it gives you detailed historical documentation about the origin of the pagan days of this world and an overview of the Passover and Holy Days of God. This is an absolute must-read. You need to understand these things in the Old Testament first. Now, we'll get to the New Testament in just a bit, but I just want to give you a little preview. The Passover in the New Testament is the central thing concerning true Christianity and true grace of God. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. Now be sure and go to our other website, cbcg.org, where we have hundreds of detailed sermons. We have transcripts you can download. So until next time, this is Fred Coulter saying, so long, everyone.